Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Good to see the crowd out this morning. I appreciate the Lord meeting with us already. I'm thankful for some people coming with joy in their hearts.
Yes, sir.
Ready to worship. And he's worthy of every bit that we can give him. And at the most we can give him, it ain't enough. So I appreciate people coming and just ready to lift up the Lord. I do want to say before I start this morning, I told Kevin this week the Holy Ghost was dealing in my heart about some things. And, you know, sometimes we get up here and we're in, I'll be honest with you, Brother Jerry, I sometimes just get in a big way and I get excited. And, you know, we say things sometimes that what we say is wrong, but sometimes we say things in the wrong spirit. And, you know, whether it be I'm just overwhelmed by emotion, because sometimes it's hard to separate my thoughts from his thoughts. Yeah. Sure. And so if I said anything last week that offended anybody, my goal was not to offend. But now if you're offended at the Word of God, I can't help that. And I'm not going to apologize for that. But if the way that I said something, Brother Cliff, to anybody here came across as I was doing it in the wrong spirit, I just want you to know I'm sorry. And I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't hurt nobody here for nothing.
Right, brother. Sure.
And I mean that.
Oh, yes.
So, y'all pray for me. That's a fear that I have. Man, I don't want to harm the cause of Christ.
Right.
And it's real easy to do that. And, man, I don't want to grieve him.
Right.
And y'all just help me, pray for me, and I'll do my best to stay right here as close as I know how, and if I get out of the way, y'all just give me a little bit of grace. I promise the Holy Ghost will fix it. He goes with me wherever I go, Brother Kim. And so I just wanted to get that off my chest before we got started this morning. Last week we talked about the joy of the Lord, and I think today what we're going to really focus on is the source of that joy. I've told you a couple times there, I didn't want to get really bogged down in areas much and stay there for too long, but this is one area I feel like that we're missing today is the joy of the Lord in the life of believers. And so we'll spend just a little time there. I'm going to read this again in 1 John, and we're really just going to springboard out of that for now. And just try to share with you what the Lord's dealt in my heart about. But 1 John chapter 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And here's where we got to. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Right.
And so the desire of the writer here, the desire of the Holy Ghost, for every believer, I believe with all my heart, God wants every person that belongs to Him to be full of the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
And I believe that, and we talked a lot about that fullness last week, and I want to remind you, we touched on it a little bit, but I want to dive into it a little more. The source of our joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, let me get to the verse here, I'll read it. John 15:11, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy," that's the Lord Jesus talking, He said, "my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Mm-hmm. And so we understand that the joy comes from Christ. In John 17:13, He said it this way, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves."
Right.
The Apostle Paul wrote it in Philippians 4:4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. We understand that our rejoicing, our joy, it has to be in the Lord. That's the source of it. And I understand we can have joy in lots of other things, as we dealt with last week. But when it comes to a lasting joy that will affect our Christian walk and that will affect those around us, that joy has to be rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you say, well, what kind of joy can we have in the Lord? And the best way I know how to do that, to answer these questions, is to just go to the Scripture and look at what people were rejoicing in, the joy that they had relative to Him. And so with that, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read lots of scriptures today, just little pieces here and there. We're going to see some examples in the Scripture of what people had joy of relative to Christ and how we can apply that to us today. And so when we come to Matthew chapter 2, we'll read verse 1 and 2, and then we'll jump on down to verse 9 and 10. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And just as a reminder, I've underlined this in my Bible and written, these men were wise because they valued Jesus. That's what makes these men wise. "Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Jump down with me to verse 9. It says, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." It says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Man, there's some exceeding great joy at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that don't affect me today. Oh, yeah, it does. Yes, it does. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners." You see, there ought to be some joy. Every time we read about the birth of Christ, man, our minds ought to go right to that and say the whole purpose of Him coming was to please the Father, to save sinners. And that's how it applies to me and you today. He came to save you and I. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." So we can have joy in the birth of Christ. Just as these wise men did, we ought to have exceeding great joy at the birth of Christ. But not only that, look at Luke 19 with me. You might know who we're talking about here if you're familiar with Scripture. So we should be joyful about the life of Christ, the birth of Christ. We should also be joyful in the life of Christ. Zacchaeus, you know the story. He climbed up in a tree to see Jesus for who he was. And we come down to verse 5 and 6. Jesus comes by his way, and it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him." How? Joyfully.
Right.
Man, there's joy in the life of Christ.
Right.
I thought about that woman at the well. You reckon she had joy when she left her water pot and went and she said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Folks, there's joy in his life in knowing who he was. Every time he raised the dead, every time he healed the sick, every time he just passed by, there was joy. There was joy. He brought life. He brought healing. He brought peace. He brought comfort. There's joy in the life of Christ. So there's joy in his birth. There's joy in his life. And I'm going to skip the crucifixion right now. But in Matthew 28:8, there was great joy at his resurrection. Look at Matthew 28:8 with me. This is Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, and the other Mary, if you look back up in verse number 1 of chapter 28, it says they came, verse number 8, it says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and what? Great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word." There's joy in the risen Savior, Brother Jerry. You reckon we've got anything to be excited about? You know, so I didn't mention how the life, his life applies to us. Hebrews 7:26 said, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." So I'm thankful that we have somebody that's different than anybody else that is living for us. But Romans 4:25, the Bible says, how does his resurrection, how does that affect us today? Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for what? Our justification." You reckon we ought to have some joy in being justified?
Right.
Man, when God looks at us, he says, "I don't see no sin. I just see my son."
Yep.
What about that? That's what being justified is. I mean, he looks at us. That's a real good one. Justified, never sinned. Amen. But I really believe it goes beyond that. It's not just that I've never sinned, but it's just as though I'm not sinning, and just as though that I will never sin.
That's right.
Not, it's my was, my am, and my will be. I'm justified was Christ in his eyes.
That's right.
That's what it really is. He looks at us and says we're right, not because of us, but because of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what his resurrection did for you and I. I don't understand how God imputed what Christ did to me or how he imputes it to you. I don't understand how he lays that on your account and my account. But all I know is that he's good enough and he promised that he would.
Yeah.
And he did. And I just believe it. And you know what that does when we believe that and we grab a hold of that and we possess that? That ought to bring us great joy. To know that we're justified. Man, I'm glad he was born. He came to die for my sins. That's what he came to do. I'm glad he lived a life that was separate from sinners. Never sinned, not one time, Brother Jesse. Never had a problem as far as that problem goes. And I'm glad that there was a day that he rose for my justification and for yours. But So he went home with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was joyful about it. These ladies were joyful about his resurrection. But what about his ascension? Look at Luke chapter 24 with me. Luke chapter 24. We'll start reading in verse number 50. The Bible says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with" what? Great joy. Great joy, and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, I can't quit right there with Luke, because we learn the rest of that over in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 tells us what all some of the things that were said there as he was ascended. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'"
Yes, sir.
You see, it wouldn't have been very happy for him, Kevin, if he ascended and left them alone.
That's right.
And didn't leave them this promise.
Yep.
But if you remember, John 14, he said, "I go." But he said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so this same Jesus that went up, so shall he come again in like manner and receive us unto himself.
Yeah.
Folks, we can joy in his ascension. That he's with the Father. And you say, "Well, I don't understand that. Well, the Bible says, Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm glad he ascended for me, ain't he? Ain't you? That he's at the right hand of God doing what? Interceding on my behalf and on your behalf. We need him there.
Yes, sir.
We need him there. We can't get there without him. So I'm thankful that he's interceding for us. And one of these days, there's going to be joy when he returns. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy.
Yes, sir.
You see, we've got joy and great joy and exceeding great joy and all these other things. But there's coming a day that we're going to be in his presence. And what does it say is in his presence? Is fullness of joy. I want full joy here. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there or not. But when I get there, you can just guarantee every one of us that's born again, you know what we'll have?
Yep.
We'll have fullness of joy. We'll have fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. And, you know, you say, well, why is that? Why should we be happy about his return, his coming for us, being his presence? Right now, this is the way we ought to feel. Titus 2:13 said this, looking for that blessed hope.
Yes, sir.
And glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It ought to be our blessed hope.
Right.
It ought to be what we long for. And the more you long for it now, the more joy you're going to have in it that day.
That's right.
Hebrews 9:28 said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that do what? Look for him.
Right.
Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so, folks, Jesus is the source of our joy. We ought to have joy in his birth, his life, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming return, all of those things. But as I thought on this stuff, I thought about the disciples and everybody at Calvary. You know, that's the pinnacle of our Bible. And I got thinking as I pondered the crucifixion and all the people involved, and I looked at the believers during that time, and I thought, you know, I'd like to stand here and say that they had joy during that time. But the truth of the matter is I don't find that there were believers at that time that had joy. In fact, Jesus said in John 16, they would be sorrowful. But I got thinking, Lord, where's the joy in that? Where was the joy at the crucifixion? Because there was some. There was some joy at the crucifixion.
Go ahead.
But it wasn't in those that were trusting in Christ and expecting his kingdom and expecting to be with him for all eternity. They were sorrowful. They were hurting. They had run. Peter was following afar off, the Bible says. As far as we know, only John was right there close. Where was everybody else? They had tucked their tails and run. They were scared. No joy in that. Not that day. But there was joy that day.
Yes,
just not in their hearts.
Right.
But I got to thinking about that, and I couldn't help but just start putting it together in my mind of the people that had joy that day.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, some of the first that came to my mind were the soldiers. Jesus, this is the one that they had been after for so long, trying to get a hold of, that they wanted him dead. And finally, you can read it over there in the book of Matthew chapter 27, finally they had their hands on him.
Right.
And they got to beat him. They got to stripe him. They got to pluck his beard. They platted that crown of thorns and put it on his head. And the Bible says they mocked him. They mocked him. And then they worshiped. Remember that reed they put in his hand we talked about not too long ago? So they got down and they worshiped him. That's what it says. There was joy in their hearts. They were happy to be crucifying the Son of God. And there was joy that day, but it wasn't in the hearts of the believers. There was joy in the soldiers' hearts. They thought they were doing what was right. They were killing this man that had turned the world upside down. There was joy in the hearts of the soldiers. But then I couldn't help but think about the thief over there in Luke 23. The Bible doesn't tell about his response. But all we know is that he looked over at the Lord and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." We don't hear nothing else out of that thief. All we hear is that the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it don't tell me about the joy in his heart afterwards. But can you imagine the joy in his heart when he heard the Son of God look at him and said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise"? Ain't that interesting that all these people that had followed him up to that point were the ones that were standing by and were aware of what was going on. John, best I can tell, they had zero joy. They had sorrow. But here you have this thief that had never followed him before, that had actually railed on him according to Scripture prior to this. And then all of a sudden, he repents. And he looks over at the Savior. And he finds joy that day in the Son of God and His crucifixion. Ain't that special? Nobody else. All these other believers that had been in this way for 3.5 years following him, all of them didn't get to have joy. They didn't understand what was going on. But this thief, he didn't know nothing that, he didn't understand anything, Jerry, other than he believed that that was really him. That was really the Son of God. All of a sudden on that cross, I don't understand, I believe it was in the words he said, Kevin. All those words, those seven sayings of the cross, he was hearing those things. And it changed his life. And it changed his death. And it changed his joy. Guaranteed. I guarantee he never felt like no joy like he did the day that he died.
Absolutely.
Ain't that something? That's what Christ can do.
Hey.
That's the joy that was found at the crucifixion. But also, if you read over there in Isaiah 53:10,
yes, sir. Guaranteed.
There was joy in the Father as he placed some stripes on his Son. The Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You ever think about that statement? To think that in the Father, even though I know that it hurt him to hurt his Son, he could look beyond what was going on at that moment and have joy in bruising his Son for you and I. For you and I, what a blessing. But then I couldn't help but think about the Son. There was joy in his heart as well. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross,
right,
despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God."
Right.
Mm-hmm. Folks, there was joy in his heart. Did he enjoy the cross? Not at all. You think he enjoyed being beat for you and I? No. But there was still joy in his heart.
Yes, sir.
Because he saw the benefit of the work that he was doing for you and I. And he had great joy because of it. And even though the believers could not joy that day, I'm thankful ever since that day, and those believers saw that risen Savior, now we can look back on the cross and we can have joy in our hearts. Not that I'm happy that he had to do it for me. I'm not happy that he had to do it for you. Not happy in it. But there's joy in my heart that he did it. And Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus." Sounds like he was joyful.
Oh, yes.
About
Absolutely.
What Christ did on the cross for him. It don't make me happy. In fact, Kevin, every time I come to that passage in Scripture, I would almost like to close those pages together and just flip from the garden, or even really before the garden, flip from there and go straight into the book of Acts. I want to read that part. Even my kids the other day, we're coming in Scripture, Kevin, to that passage. And Chloe said, "Daddy, can we skip the crucifixion?" I do not like to read it. Why is that? Because I know that I was the reason that he was there. And it breaks my heart. But at the same time, I don't understand how you can be so heartbroken over a passage of Scripture and say, "Lord, you did this for me. I'm the reason you're there." But at the same time, you can say, "Lord, I'm so thankful that for me you were there. You did it for me.
Right.
You did it for the world." I don't understand how we can have joy and sadness at the same time. But in Christ, you can have joy. And He is the source of our joy. So there is joy to be had over the crucifixion. But just that day, in the presence of the believers, they didn't have it. They were sorrowful, brokenhearted. But there was some joy, and I'm glad that today there is joy to be had. So Christ is, I hope you see, He is the only source of true joy. If there's joy to be had that'll last eternally, it only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk 3:18.
Yes, sir.
Says, "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation."
Right.
If we're going to have it, it'll come through the God of our salvation.
Hey.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of our joy. And, you know, there's joy to be had in other things. And I keep saying that. I don't want you to ever think that it's wrong to rejoice in the good things that we have in this life. I mean, our families. I joy in this church. I enjoy when we come in here and I see you all. I enjoy coming in here. I like seeing new faces. Man, it thrills my soul. But there may come a time I may not have Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And I may not have my family. I may not have my job. I may not have my health. You see, I can have joy in all those things. But every bit of that joy, you know what can happen to it? It can be gone tomorrow. But if my joy is rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes, sir,
you know how possible it is for me to lose that joy? Nobody can take it. That joy can't be taken. I'll show you that right here shortly. So we see the source of our joy is the Lord Jesus. And just, you know, last week we talked about how that our joy can be full. And if it can be full, then, you know, therefore it must be able to be empty. And it can be everywhere in between. And so, you know, I couldn't help but just look and do a word search and in my Bible and find all these levels of joy. And what you find is just joy. There's places you find great joy. There's places there's exceeding joy. And then there's places where there's exceeding great joy. And then you find abundant joy. And then over there in 1 Peter, you find joy unspeakable and full of glory. But the next passage we come to, what you find is full joy. full joy in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, you can have full joy. And I got to Acts 13 as well. So I got to looking up the definition of full, being full. That word means replete, having within its limits all that it can contain, abounding with, having abundance. I like this word, saturated. Isn't that a good word? Saturated. You know what it means when something's saturated? When you saturate a sponge, you know what it means? It can't hold no more. If you try to add more, some starts coming out. And it means completely filled. That's what full means. And so that's the scale. So you've got a source of joy is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then would you agree that there's a scale? You know, your joy, you can look at, I mean, it can be measured differently. There's times that my joy is not as big as it is the other times. And that's not because of the source. The source remains the same. He always has the same amount. He can always provide more. He's never depleted. There's plenty at the source.
Yep.
The problem is the vessel. We're just leaky vessels. And we're the ones that allow our joy to go from joy unspeakable, yeah, full of glory,
you're right,
down to
that's the truth.
It's joy. The reality is every believer, I believe this, I believe that every believer that knows that they're saved, I think enough time talking enough about Jesus, you get around them, you start bringing up how God's brought them out, how God's helped them. I don't know that it can help but stir up some joy. There has to be some joy. But the measure of it, man, sometimes it's way down here. And sometimes you got to dig way deep to get to it.
I guarantee that's right. Yep.
That's why sometimes we come to church and our joy is not seen by anybody. We come sit on the pew and Kevin can preach his lungs out and preach his heart out. And there's seemingly no emotional response. I'm not saying it's all about emotions, but what I do know is that when something touches you to the point that it starts stirring that joy up on the inside, what does it affect? It starts affecting those emotions. And you sit here day after day, week after week, emotionless. I start worrying about where your joy's at. Because I can't hear about what Christ did for me and it not start stirring something up on the inside. And anybody that can, I question where they're at with the Lord. But we'll quit right there. Sounds like we're done. But Christ is the source of our joy. And just remember, your joy, there's a scale of it. It can be real high and it can be real low. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray. I appreciate y'all's good attention.